Hello and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. There's all kinds of family. We chose this one. This is episode 54, Pit Stop, Hyperdrive, Season 1. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode is brought to you by Skip Barber Racing School, your number one destination for auto racing and driving schools. Armed with two borrowed race cars and a strong belief that, like all other sports, racing was teachable, Skip Barber Racing School was founded by John Skip Barber in 1975.
Well, cool. Thank you, Skip Barber Racing School. Where is that located?
There's a bunch of them.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. Okay.
I mean, maybe.
You know, it's cool that the school filed for bankruptcy, Chapter 11 bankruptcy, in May 22nd of 2017, and yet was still able to finance our podcast today. That's a very nice turnaround.
Hey,
like, that's the pull and the e-brake around that one post, right? Just being like,
the 540.
Yeah.
The drifting 540. They totally did. Maybe they just like were like bankrupt for like real things and not for like podcast advertisements.
Yeah, they got couch cushion money for us.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't keep the lights on, but like they're like, yeah, okay.
So this episode we are talking about the first season, so far the only season, they have not announced a season 2 yet, of Hyperdrive, the Charlize Theron produced American Ninja Warrior for Cars reality competition series on Netflix.
Right.
Came out in August, so just over 2 months ago. We will get to that at the end. I enjoyed it. I don't want to, you know, get too far ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it. I had a good time, and I was glad. I was a little worried that I might not, but I did. It took me like an episode and a half really to sort of get into it, but then by that point, I was on board, and I had a good time.
It's just a competition. Even if you don't like cars or racing, at the end of the day, Netflix shot it well enough that it just makes it a competition of people. But they're good at this. They've done, like, Beast Warrior or whatever. What's it called? The Ultimate Beast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've done, like, every version of this show. So, like, it's the same structure that you're going to get, like, you know, you see the people, you get their background, you kind of like them, and then they have, like, you know, some asshole that shouldn't be in this competition, and yeah, exactly.
Sure. Before we do that, we have to do all of our regular top-of-the-show festivities. First up, extracurricular activities. Joe, what have you been up to? So, you know, we record now weekly, because we're doing a weekly show now.
Yes.
But it's been really like a week and a half since we last recorded. So the mailbox, spoiler, overflowing. I don't even know
what
the number is, honestly. But it's basically been a week and a half since we recorded, because we're doing this later in the week, and last week we did it earlier in the week. So what have you been up to since we last spoke last Monday?
I didn't think about that till you just asked me, and I've actually been up to something very, very cool. Last weekend, Rachel and I, along with two of our friends, went to Salem, Mass. To go see, like, the witch trial type things, right?
Mm-hmm.
My mom and her friend met us up there, so there was, like, a crew of six of us rolling around there. And we went through Salem. Obviously, you know, it's close to Halloween, so they do a bunch of, like, Halloween-y type stuff. It's more like a fair than anything, you know what I mean? Like, they have, like, vendors on the street and stuff like that. But we did some, like, tours, like, you know, tours of the historic, like, the last house in Salem that was, like, there when the witch trials happened.
Okay.
And we also went to the House of Seven Gables. Do you know this?
No, I've heard of it, I think, but I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, the book by Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Okay.
On that property, he used to live in Salem, and they actually moved his house to that property. But he wrote a book called The House of Seven Gables, and it's about this house that's in Salem. So we got to go through the House of Seven Gables, which was really cool. And we did, like, you know, a historical tour, and you get to see all of the cool Salem things. It was fun. It was definitely a fun weekend. That was it. We ate and drank a lot. Like, you know, it's actually really fun boozing through. We didn't do, like, haunted houses, right? There's not, like, I think there is haunted houses there that you can go, like, get scared, but it's more of, like, a historical place.
Okay.
So I would imagine it more like, I don't know, did you ever do any of these as a kid?
It's like learned scares.
The witch trials aren't as scary as you would imagine. They're more scary of the concept of them that, like...
Oh, sure. Yeah. Because when Winona Ryder, the Winona podcast, Winona Forever,
yes,
did... What was that? The Crucible.
Yep.
Also written by Nathaniel Hawthorne, right, I think?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not...
Oh, no, that was Arthur Miller.
Yeah.
Did Nathaniel Hawthorne write... Scarlet Letter?
Yes, he did the Scarlet Letter and the House of Seven Gables. Yeah.
When they did that episode for the podcast, when I was up in Toronto, I went on that show, so I watched that movie last summer for them,
yeah,
and I talked about it with them, and yeah, because we still see it, like, it's still the mob mentality, mob rule, you know, there's no evidence, but people are just like, yeah, burn the witch.
Yep, exactly. Witch hunt is back in our colloquialisms now. It was interesting, you know, so, like, a lot of the things like parts of the tours and stuff that we were doing. Oh, and you know what else I got to see that was really cool when I was there?
What's that?
You know the movie Hocus Pocus?
Of course. It's covered by two different podcasts on the network.
It's shot in Salem, and I got to see not the Sanderson sisters' house, but the mansion that they go into, like that she's having the party at, like his kind of girlfriend. So I got to go through the Ropes mansion.
Very cool.
Yes. So I was I was excited about that too.
Actually, our current LAP guest, Kara Gaylor Regan, covered it on Wistful Thinking with Jordan Pullen Clark.
She did.
And also
I remember
the Contenders covered it.
Yes.
Yes. So they both covered it. So that's very exciting. They both covered it last fall, last October, for Spooky Season.
Makes sense.
Anything else of note since last Monday?
No, that was the main thing that I did. I think Salem is cool. I would recommend it if you wanted to go spend time in Boston and hit it for a day around Halloween time. But it seems like they'd kind of do everything all year round. So it was just like a ton of people. If you're good with that and, you know, do some tours and stuff, it's fun. It was fun.
Cool. I have not done a lot since last week. I have some cool stuff planned for this upcoming Saturday, which will be this past Saturday as you're listening to this. But over the weekend, I watched the Yankees get knocked out of the playoffs, which
is... I'm sorry, brother.
It's all right. It is what it is.
Yeah, you can't fix it. It's not like you were playing.
They were just outclassed, and now the Nationals are kicking the Astros' ass, which is cool. And I mean, by the time this comes out, the series could be over. Who knows?
Are you one of these guys like my dad that's like, I want to lose to the champs type thing?
No, I don't care. My dad was like, because when the Astros were playing the Rays, and, you know, he's a Yankee fan too, my dad, and he was just saying, you know, I'd rather have the Astros beat the Rays because I want to beat the best. I was like, I just want to get there. Like, I don't care. I don't care who I win. Like, you still win. Like,
yes,
if the Rays beat the Astros, they're the better team in that series. You know what I mean? So
yeah, exactly. You're gonna beat the best no matter what. Like,
yeah.
if you win, you were the best, and you beat every other best team.
Yes.
No, my dad always has this thing. Like, if the Penguins lose, he roots for the team that knocked us out, right? Because he's like, well, then we came in second, is his logic.
Which I understand, but also isn't true.
No, it's not. But that's his logic,
yes.
And that's what he tells me. He's like, well, we did just as good as the guys that lost to them at the top. And you're like, not really, but I kind of get it.
I don't know who my dad is rooting for. I don't know if he's watching the World Series. I'm not because of, like, I'm like upset that the Yankees aren't in it, but I just don't care. I have interest in Major League Baseball, but I don't actually care. And I also don't want to spend, you know, 4 hours a night for 4 to 7 nights, again, just watching baseball.
So long.
I saw Zombieland 2 this weekend. Not great. I would not recommend that. Maybe at some point. It's just, it's not really worth noting. But of more important movie note, I went to resident historian Mike Manzi's house, the Mikester from the Ride Along Lap, because this week there's a new Nicolas Cage movie. It's not a good one, but it's a new Nicolas Cage movie, so we talked about that.
That's good.
New Cage Club episode, and we also did the Keanu Club episode of Toy Story 4, so a twofer.
Nice.
Yes,
I didn't
yes.
even know there were on 4 Toy Stories.
The 95, 99, 2010,
I knew
and then this year.
So, yeah, so one came out this year. Dude, not having any kids or, like, nieces, nephews around, nothing. I have no concept of what children's movies are coming out.
Oh, but the new one's great. I mean, also, I'm surprised that you were able to sort of dodge, because, I mean, it's a Pixar movie. It sort of, you know, extends beyond just kids' movies, right? So
it does, but usually those, it depends on which ones, but usually, like, Rachel and I will watch them when they come out in streaming services, and I, like, turn on Netflix and see it. Until I see it pop up on those, I don't really have a concept of them, you know?
Well, it is out on home video. I have it on Blu-ray. It's on streaming.
Okay.
Maybe when Disney Plus comes out, if you got a new iPhone. No, that's different. That's Apple Plus.
Yeah.
Hello. Disney Plus, I mean, there's trials
and
stuff.
Verizon.
Who knows? Maybe.
If you have Verizon Wireless, we get a year of Disney Plus, I think.
Yes. If you have the Verizon Wireless Unlimited, the Unlimited plan, yes. You got a year of Disney Plus. So go contact your local carrier to learn more about that.
Not sponsored by Verizon unless they pay
no.
us. Definitely not. Never.
We are objectively neutral about them until they pay us.
Exactly.
Even though you and I are both on
Skip Barber's Racing School.
Love them. Love them.
They're the best.
Get your mobile services from Skip Barber. We have a Patreon page here on the show, TooFastTooForever.com. Shout out to, drumroll please, Cassie Wilson, Jake Freer, Ben Milliman, Nick Burris, and Alex Ellenin
for
supporting us over there. Thank you all for that. If you are not a patron yet, there's still time to vote on which Paul Walker movie we are going to cover this lap at the end of the lap. You have access to the Fast and Furious Minute document. We'll be doing another minute at the in the middle of this show.
Yes.
You'll also get our undying love and affection, a handwritten note from us, and some stickers and some other merch. So go do that, TooFastTooForever.com.
Please. And thank you.
All right, Joe, mailbag time.
Okay.
You ready for this?
How many do we got? Give me a...
It's like 10, I think.
Is it like 10, is it 7 with some doubles?
So it's actually 10, but there's two that are, like, in reply to one. So
okay.
it's kind of, like, between 8 and 10. So I'm just going to go through it.
Okay, let's go.
First up, from Nick Burris, subject line, yeah, what? Okay, Lil Jon, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, guys. First, the music seems to be a good topic starter for a lot of episodes, so why not? Love the old school rappers like LL Cool J and Ice Cube.
Same.
For a while now, I've been into country rap or hick hop, like Upchurch, Jelly Roll, Struggle Jennings, Adam Calhoun, Jogga Boys, Demon Jones.
Wait, I have a great song recommendation then.
I've never heard of any of those bands.
I've never heard of any of those, but I have one. It's like a
Is it called Old Town Road?
No, it's not Old Town Road.
You might have heard of it. It's called Old Town Road.
What's that song? I have one song like this that I really, really enjoy. We listen to a lot of electronic music. The song is produced by an electronic musician.
Oh, I know exactly what song you're talking about.
Turn Up on the Weekend?
No, I was thinking We Are Farmers.
No, that's a great one. No, that's like more comedic. This is kind of comedic, but it's actually a real song. Branches, who's the producer, a country rapper named Big Wet, and he has a song called Turn Up on the Weekend, and it's like Rachel and I listen to it all the time. It's like country rap over like a more melodic electronic song. If you like the genre, this is what I would recommend to expand. So
also, We Are Farmers, because Diplo raps.
Diplo and Annie Milonakis raps. Yeah.
Saliva is one of my favorite rock/metal bands with a click click boom. Such a kick-ass song for any action sequence.
It is, I agree. It's a great song in that, yeah.
It says, I saw a new show on Netflix called Rhythm and Flow, like American Idol for rappers.
Oh, that's very interesting. So it's like one of those Dave Chappelle skits, but in real life.
Man, I gotta rewatch Chappelle Show. Nick says, speaking of Netflix, watch season 3 of Big Mouth, and there's a Fast and Furious shout-out. I sort of skipped over, I don't want to know what it is, because I have not gotten to that yet, but I will. Love Big Mouth, I've just not watched it yet.
Yes, I haven't watched the new season either, but I really enjoy that show too. It's really fun to binge. We like to watch in hotel rooms when we're traveling. It's a great show to watch like that.
He says, also love you guys trying to call the places in the minute when there is a phone number.
Oh yeah, same. I like making Joey try to do it, yeah.
Couple things in the first one that kind of bugged me in the crash, besides Dom just launching up the semi, is when he landed the Charger, had a stock exhaust.
It is weird that Dom had a stock exhaust. I agree. I don't think he would have one. If you watch any of the Craig Lieberman videos, he kind of goes through the how there's, you know, 15 different versions of this car, so the ones that they're going to wreck, they don't put, like, the fancy exhaust on just for the sake of not destroying the exhaust kind of thing.
Gotcha, okay.
It's a movie thing more than, like, a car thing.
It's a practical thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And he says, definitely a Hot Topic vibe in the 2000s in this movie, from the bracelets to the black nail polish. Still a cool flashback. That's kind of what we're talking about a lot with Kara, right? Was the fashion and the sort of the very specific set in this time period kind of vibe of the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree.
One of my favorite Letty moments is when they're at the race wars and Johnny and Dom get into it and Lance is coming up through the crowd and Letty just clocks him. So awesome.
Is he talking about the one in 6 or in 1? In 6?
I think it's in 1. I think he's talking about 1.
When Dom and Johnny Tran are fighting. Sorry, not when Letty punches the guy.
No, Lance comes up. She punches Lance.
Okay. Makes sense.
I listened to the Brian Diagnostics, and he mentioned Bullet. It got me thinking that there should have been a Mustang in 2, but then I remember there's a green Mustang in 3. Never caught it before or never took notice, but maybe it's a kind of tribute to the most iconic car chases in movie history.
Yes, the Bullet scene, yep. Yeah. Exactly.
He says, plus Steve McQueen, was a good cop, not like Brian, LOL. Anyway, that's all I got time for. I'll catch you on the flip side, Nick.
Thank you, Nick, for writing in.
Next up, the missing man of the hour, Wes Hampton back. Subject line, simply, too fast. Number 2, fast. What up, fam?
What up?
So far, this has been a great lap, and I'm loving Kara's enthusiasm and her fresh takes on the series. Same. Believe it or not, I actually didn't have much to say about episode 1 of this lap. I do not believe it, Wes. I do not believe that you had nothing to say.
All bullshit.
Overall, it was really enjoyable, and I hope Kara's appreciation for the series continues to grow. It's been a hectic couple of weeks over here. We saw your South by Southwest, or no.
Austin City
no,
Limits.
No, your Austin City Limits.
Yes.
Your flag and everything like that. I know you had a lot going on, so that's very exciting.
Dude, yeah. Don't worry about us. Like, live life, first of all. Yeah. But, like, I hope everything's going great. Long, you're having fun.
As long as you do it a quarter mile at a time.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So here are my new episode observations for 51 and 52.
Okay.
Joey, the Big E sounds fun, but I'm with you. I can't really do more than a day at any fair-type place, and I grew up going to the Texas State Fair every year.
Which is huge, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the biggest one in the country, he says, but it's definitely one of the biggest. I haven't been in probably 20 years or more, but it's something I'd like to go back to someday and bring Mrs. Wes along, since she's never been. Went to the Arizona State Fair a couple times in college, but it's pretty small in comparison.
I don't know anything about the Arizona State Fair, but I know that a lot of my friends work the Texas State Fair. Mm-hmm. They'll do, like, promotions for them, because a lot of these booths will do, like, they'll hire a bunch of cute girls to stand in the Ford booth or whatever. Like, and that's one company that provides these girls, right? Like, Ford doesn't have these girls on, like, retainer or something, right? And I've seen pictures of it, but I've never been there, and I always really wanted to go. I think it would be fun.
You guys correctly remember the three characters with the different names, Leo Tego, Rico Santos, and Don Omar, and Kara Murtha. I don't know, I didn't know if you would remember Kara Murtha, since I don't think she's ever named, except for in the credits, and she only has about 15 seconds of screen time in Fast and Furious. Well, Wes, the reason I remembered is Joey because Kara is on this lap. So I just, when we saw the name was Kara, I was like, who's Kara? Oh, all right, Kara Murtha. Okay, there we go. Cool.
Makes sense.
Just a point of clarification, Mrs. West wasn't adopted.
Okay.
Her mom was in high school when she was born, and her mom and stepdad were married when she was four, so she knows all of her mom's side of the family, but she never knew her biological dad's family or anything about him.
Oh, that makes sense.
Not to get too much into the family history, but her parents treated it like a big secret, which is why it was such a big deal for her to finally find him. We expected some fallout with her parents, but everyone seems cool with it. No big drama or anything. Just wanted to clarify that one thing.
That's awesome. Sorry. I think I just assumed that. I was, like, connecting the dots how it normally would go, and just in explaining it to Kara, I misspoke. I'm sorry. I'm glad everybody's cool about
it. How dare you?
Hey, man. I can only keep my own family drama, you know what I mean? Like, I can only keep my own family history to myself.
Plus our collective family, like, in that drama, in terms of, like, Vin and The Rock.
That's the family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thinking about how Ellie Toretto could be No Knees Denise in the FNF canon, and all I can think is maybe, if you kind of mentally squint at everyone's age, it's all kind of fuzzy anyway.
Yeah, true.
You can look at You Are My Lifespan as happening a few years before the first movie, and maybe Dom gets mad at her for dating Johnny, so he sends her to live with family in Barstow. He says there could be an aunt there or something.
Maybe.
We know he has other family that's never mentioned until it's convenient for the plot. So maybe she's like a sophomore or junior while Brian and Roman are seniors.
Ooh.
I can see Brian being a few years younger than Dom, but I also have no idea what happens later in the story, so this could all come crashing down in future chapters.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We have no idea what happens later either. Like, we are on this 12-year journey.
But I forget it. Like, I just know that it just is grimy, essentially.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. I'm less interested in the sex and more interested in the plot.
I read the plot. I know that by chapter titles that at some point she starts dating Deckard Shaw.
Well, of course. I mean, the art for the episode is her, is some woman and Owen, or and Deckard, and you know, Jason Statham. So the art that we use as the episode art on CageClub.me, like, it's her with Deckard, so
yeah,
like, we knew that was coming at some point. So
and
yeah,
Chipper's
that's
there. Chipper gets there eventually. So yeah.
Who?
Cypher.
Oh, she calls her Chipper.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Wonderful. One thing I wanted to mention about Brian's past, specifically with the juvenile record that Jesse finds, just because that was part of Brian's cover doesn't mean it wasn't true.
Ah.
I've read that in undercover situations, they'll sometimes stick close to the undercover person's real past or use already existing identities that are similar because it makes the details easier to remember and feel more natural. Plus,
we
know
sense.
He and Roman got into trouble as kids, and according to Fast Five, they met in juvie.
Oh, that's, that's starting to click. That makes sense to me.
It does, and I think that I've heard that before. I didn't think of it because I'm not, you know, my third eye is not open to undercover work. But yeah, like,
need
it's the closer you are to the truth, and like, that's why they call him Brian. So like, it's not like he has to learn a new name, right? Because if you just yell a different name, you're like, wait, what? Who are you talking to?
Like, Steve? Who's Steve? And you're like, oh, fuck, it's me. And especially like, if you'd be like drunk, I always have to plan to like, what would I have to say if I was drunk around these people? Like, I would have to have a story that's well enough put together that, like, if I was drunk, I wouldn't come out of character. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
It makes sense.
Yes.
Because I'm sure you're going to have to, like, smoke weed with them at some point, and you don't want to be all stoned being like, what the fuck should I tell them I used to do? You know, like.
And here's Wes on his island alone. I just want to say again, Brian wasn't a bad cop. He was bad at following the rules, but he was actually very good at the skills required of a law enforcement officer. Great at tracking
Parkour.
People, great at putting together clues, whether or not he paid attention to them. Great at hand-to-hand and armed combat. He had all the skills that make for very effective officers. It was just the whole concept of, quote, criminality that tripped him up. But I think it's unfair to say he was a bad cop because that makes him sound inept. He was actually very good, just not very loyal to the government or the law.
He makes a fair point there. We are saying that he's a shitty cop in the sense that he didn't accomplish what the cops wanted him to accomplish.
Yes. You know, like Ricky Bobby says, if you ain't first, you're last. If you're not a good cop, you're a bad cop.
Exactly. And he's right. He does have all the skills necessary to be good at doing cop things, but he doesn't put them all together to give them the results that they're looking for.
Right.
And I can accept all of that. I can agree with all of this. Yeah. I'm still going to say he's a shitty cop, though. So sorry.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. We are, and I think Kara is firmly in that cabin too. You know what I mean? So that's it for this week. I'll be interested to hear what Kara thinks of 2F2F. Until next time, stay furious, Wes. Well, thank you, Wes. I think Wes writes in again, so we'll hear from Wes again before too long.
Cool.
Here's another email from Nate Milton. He is the guy who is inviting us onto his Rocky Maivia picture show.
Yes. I was just talking about this with Rachel because I saw him tweeting the other night. I was mentioning to her about how we got invited to do that, and I'm excited for it.
So last time he emailed, then we replied live on air and said we would love to do it. Mm-hmm. And he says, thanks, Joe. Sorry for the delayed response, but my schedule has been crazy hectic between my 9-to-5 calling high school football games. Very cool.
Oh,
and
very
recording
cool.
2 to 3 podcasts a week. I've been there, Nate. Don't worry about that. Mid-November works great. I think my listeners will get a kick out of hearing you guys talk about the film as only you can. Have a great week, gentlemen. I look forward to hopping on the mics with you brothers next month.
Awesome. Good. So we're penciled in. That sounds great. I like it.
Now, here's a question for you, Joe. I'm going to reply to him.
What?
Do we want to invite him on this podcast?
Duh. He needs to join the family. It's always a trade like that. That wasn't even a real question. Yeah, because this is like the Nerd on Nerd Bros. Like, we have to get all, like, the Nerd on Nerd family. Brian Rodriguez from High School Slumber Party. He comes here. We go there. You got to race in everybody's home turf. I think that the streets have an advantage. So we got to be the best in both worlds.
I says, hi, Nate. That sounds great. I hope you have room in your schedule for one more podcast because we'd love to have you on Next Lap. You can pick whether you want to talk about a movie with or without The Rock. We'll be in touch with more details later. Thanks, Joey.
Perfect. Love it.
Send. We'll keep an eye out for that with Nate Milton, the Rocky Maivia Picture Show. Email from Alex Ellenin, subject line, quick one.
Hi, Alex.
So we know John Cena's in Fast 9, right?
True.
Yes, we do. Well, John Cena Tiempo? Is that a different person?
It's probably an alternate wrestling character. I had stopped watching wrestling at this time.
Oh, no. John Cena, I know this guy. He's the guy who races in Too Fast, Too Furious. He's one of the two guys that, like, that when they do the two-on-two, where, like, it's the down and back, he's one of those guys.
With the
muscle
car guys.
He's the guy who looks like he belongs in The Sopranos.
Oh, okay, the dark-haired one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Alex says, John Cenotiempo appeared in Too Fast, Too Furious and Furious 7. You may remember him as the guy Brian and Roman win the muscle cars from. I should have just kept reading.
Yeah, you should have.
In the street race in 2F2F, he's driving the blue Yanko Camaro.
Yep.
I think I saw it on the Fast and Furious subreddit that he was in a later one as well and started looking, and sure enough, his page on the fandom wikia says he appears in Furious 7. He was the driver of the black Mercedes sedan in the parachuting bus chase scene that gets impaled into a tree.
Wait, R.I.P. Dude, that's so weird. We've never, ever had the Law & Order SVU happen in Fast & Furious that I know of besides this. That you have, like, a character and then a character come back as not the same character.
I wonder if it's the same character, though. Hold on, let's take a look.
Okay. Let's see how they're built.
So before, while I look this up, I do have a wild revelation, but let me, this guy's, he's mostly a stunt actor. I think we knew that. So in Too Fast, Too Furious, he plays Corpy, K-O-R-P-I, Corpy, mm-hmm. Corpy, okay?
Corpy.
In Furious 7, he plays Corpy again, so it's the same guy, he's just uncredited in that one.
Oh, so he's moved up the ranks, and now he works for Cypher.
I guess. He says, obviously we're going to believe he's the same character in both. Just thought it'd be something to keep an eye on for since we're on Too Fast, Too Furious now. Alex Ellenin. I think the reason he wrote it is we've got John Cena and then we got John Cena Tiempo, China Tiempo, right? So it's the same name, essentially.
Exactly. Makes sense.
But that is cool that they brought him back. Like, I think we were always, it's almost like, you know, we couldn't see the forest through the trees. We're like, are they going to bring back Heart of Roan? They didn't, but they brought back this dope.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. And now I want to make up a good story. Like, when we get to 7, let's make up a good story on how he got from 2 to 7, okay?
Okay, sure, as long as we remember it. But here's the bigger revelation about Furious 7. So one of my favorite movies of the last, well, I guess ever, one of my favorite horror movies for sure ever, is a movie called The House of the Devil, which came out in, like, 2007-ish, okay? Directed by Ty West, and it's basically, it's, everything is so beautifully crafted to act like it looks like it came out of the 1980s, okay?
Okay. I think that we watched this movie, that Rachel and I just watched this.
It's a very, you might hate, it's so slow. It's so slow.
The House of the Devil?
Yes.
No, we didn't watch that one.
It is incredibly slow. Like it's huge. It's a slow burn where this babysitter, or this college student played by Jocelyn Donahue, goes to, she finds like a thing that like looking for a babysitter. She goes to this house and there's no baby, but, and like there's like a creepy vibe kind of.
Okay.
But she's like, I'll just, you know, it's money or whatever. And things break bad essentially, right?
Okay.
Jocelyn Donahue is a great actress. She's super cute. She was great in that movie. And so when I was living in Austin, there was a movie playing at South by Southwest when I went one year called The Frontier. And The Frontier was this like Western, modern Western starring Jocelyn Donahue.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, cool, I'll go see that movie because, you know, I really like her in the other movie. I just want to, you know, I'm just seeing 20 movies this week. I'm going to see whatever I can
matter.
And this lines
exactly.
up, whatever. And I start chatting with the two guys next to me and they're like, oh, we are, you know, not like important in the movie, but like we're producers on the movie or whatever. And,
oh, cool.
You know, they're like, why are you here? And I was like, oh, well, honestly, you know, I love House of the Devil. And I thought Jocelyn Donahue was so great, and I want to see her in this. And they're like, oh, well, you know she's sitting right behind us, right? And I was like, wait, what? and they're like, yeah, you know, it's like, she's super nice. Like, if she comes down, like, we'll introduce you. And so she, like, goes down to the bathroom to say hi to somebody or whatever, and she's coming back up. They're like, oh, Jocelyn, here. Like, you know, this is our good friend Joey now. You know, he loved you in the House of the Devil. He just wanted to, and she's, like, so sweet. And she, like, shakes my hand. She's like, oh, that's so nice of you to come, whatever. Movie's really good, whatever. I don't talk to her again after that. But I'm talking to my friend Matt Stewart, who's a director, and I think we'll have him on this podcast at some point.
Okay.
And I don't remember how it came up, but I'm looking at her on IMDb, or I'm looking at her on Letterboxd maybe, and I'm like, Furious 7? What the fuck? Like, she's in Furious 7.
Wait, what?
And I was like, who are you in Furious 7? Because, like, this is an actress that I've only seen in a couple movies,
but
love, and I've seen
her.
Those movies multiple times, right?
Yeah.
And so she plays Advisor. And she is third from the bottom in terms of credited actors. So I don't know where in this 2-hour and 20-minute movie she is, but I'm going to keep my eyes glued on Furious 7, not only now for John Chinatiempo, but also for Jocelyn Donahue, because this actress who might not even have a line, I don't know who she is, I don't know if she's somebody with a clipboard in the back of a room somewhere, but this actress
Does
that I love
like
from two movies...
the main character in House with the Devil?
She's the star of that movie.
And she's just, like, an extra, essentially, in Furious 7.
Essentially, yeah. She's got to be, like, 35th or 40th build.
Interesting.
She's below people on the list that don't have a picture. She's below T-Pain on the list.
And T-Pain just did the soundtrack, I'm guessing?
No, he just did the
DJ. That's right. He's in the party. That's right.
So, I'm going to keep my eyes peeled for Jocelyn Donahue as Advisor.
Luck, I don't know what she looks like, so I can't help, but I'll
She's a cute brunette. Just keep your eyes peeled for a cute brunette doing absolutely nothing.
In the Fast and the Furious movies, that'll be really easy to find.
I know, right? I'm assuming she's going to be wearing more clothes than less clothes, but who knows? I don't know either. Next email from Jake Freer just says, hey fellas, really loving the show, therefore I decided to go up a tier in my Patreon subscription to help you guys out a bit more. Excited to see how the show continues to grow and get better. Keep up the great work.
That's awesome. Thank you, Jake. I appreciate it. Joey told me like he had seen it, and I really appreciate it. I wanted to wait to hear the email first, and obviously we read them all for the first time when we record, so that's why when we were bullshitting the other day on Facebook Messenger, I didn't mention it, but thank you. I appreciate it. I do.
So now he asked me, he's like, does this entitle me to a theme pick? And I said, yes, you have to pick a movie. I said, but you can't pick a Paul Walker. So here's a little bit of more shameless plugging for the Patreon. So the $10 a month tier.
Yes.
Interpol's Most Wanted. You get to pick one movie a year, every year, that we watch. And so it's going to be a Pit Stop movie. So I got two things here to talk about with you, Joe. Number one,
we don't have to
decide right now.
Okay.
But
pitch it.
It's not exactly this because it doesn't exactly line up, but basically every year we're doing two themes. We're doing two laps a year, essentially, right? Because there's like a lapse like 20, 24 weeks or whatever, right? So it's basically two a year.
Okay.
So we need to decide what our next two theme laps are going to be, whether they're going to be another actor, whether we're going to focus on like the first movie, whether we're going to do like heist movies, like what it could be anything we want it to be, but I think we should come up with two because now we have both Ben and Jake that each get to pick one. And so I think we should be like, hey, we're going to say, just for instance, this is not the case, but like next lap six is going to be Vin Diesel. And then lap seven is going to be The Rock. And so like pick any one of their movies that you want and we'll do that, right?
Yeah.
We need to off mic decide what the next two theme laps are so we can tell Ben, we can tell Jake, be like, hey, pick one from either lap, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do that.
Cool.
Bigger question. I thought this was a choice, but I don't think it is. And I want to get your take on this.
Okay.
So we have a $25 a month tier, which nobody's at right now, which is okay because that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And in that tier, you get a t-shirt. You get the t-shirt that we have designed, that we have made, that we are going to get printed. Right?
Yes.
I thought also in that tier, which it's not, but I'm thinking of adding it. And I want to get your take. And if you vehemently disagree, we can just cut this out. I think you should be able to, for $25 a month, pick an entire theme for a lot. Like, work with us.
Down.
To pick a theme.
So down.
You can pick some movies, but you can also pick some other stuff. So, like, if you have ideas for other things you could think we could do, I think you can, it's sort of like a collaborative. It's more than just picking a movie. It's picking, like, an entire 6 months of our lives, essentially, every other week.
Yep, and obviously within reason and working with us, but that's everybody that is a Patreon seems to be really chill, so
yes.
It's not like it's going to be like you have to watch all this gore or something weird, you know what I mean? Like,
right. It's only Faces of Death videos for 26 weeks or whatever.
Pantera music videos that are 8 hours long.
So I was talking to Jake, and I was saying, you know, you get the one per year, but we already have the Paul Walker, the Brian O'Connor lap planned out, so I'm sorry you can't do this one. And he said, and here I'm gonna reveal the next pit stop that we're doing, because it ties in on a few different levels. So today we're doing Hyperdrive.
Yes.
The next thing we're doing in 2 weeks is Ben's pick. This is the pick that he made back in the fall, and we just sort rolled into the lap. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do the movie Brick Mansions, which was Paul Walker's final movie, where he plays a cop, and we can talk about that, you know, at the end of the episode or whatever.
Down.
But Jake was saying to me, he's like, oh, like, you know, if I had to pick this lap, I would have picked Brick Mansions. And I was like, oh,
spoiler.
Well, just so you know, Ben picked that, so you guys are on the same page there. So it's basically like Jake got a bonus pick. Like, he didn't actually pick it, but he is, in theory, in spirit with Ben. They both pick Brick Mansions.
So awesome.
Very in 2 cool. weeks, we're going to be talking about Brick Mansions.
I've never seen it either.
I saw it in theaters. So I'm going to be, I'm excited to watch it again.
Cool.
Paul Walker's final, he looks like, physically looks like, you know, Fury 7 Paul Walker.
Okay.
So we're going to look forward to that in 2 weeks. And we'll remind you at the end of the episode. But just wanted to say, you know, it's kind of like a little funny, happy coincidence that Jake was like, oh, I don't get a pick, but this is what I would have picked. And we're like, oh, well, you know.
Spoiler alert, we're doing it anyways. Yep.
Yeah. So I sent him, so Jake emails that in, and I email him back, and I just send him a bunch of hearts, right? Because I'm just like, oh, thank you. Like, you're so kind, so generous.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then he responds and just says, oh, by the way, go Astros. And I said, fuck you. I take all the hearts back. I don't remember. I think that was the night, it was Friday. So it was the night that the Astros lost. So I guess him saying go Astros hurt them, because obviously sober season is working for you. So clearly Jake saying go Astros hurt the Astros. But the next night they took care of business.
I'm 9 of 11 in sober season right now. I've tapered off, but like the last two were really fucking close. And like last night was rough. Like we scored a goal at the end of it. There was literally 0.2 seconds left. The goal was in the net, but you couldn't. His glove was in the net with the puck in the glove, but because you couldn't see the puck cross the line, they couldn't call it a goal.
Oh.
It was like, how shitty is that, right? Like his whole.
It's like the Schrodinger's cat of pucks.
Yeah, and we're like, come on, man! Like you.
It's
know
a goal and not a goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sucks.
It sucked. Yep.
If sober season was not going to be. If sober season was perfect, like I don't know, like you should have. You should be like a millionaire based on like DraftKings. You know what I mean? Like you should
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
If you're like 40 in a row, you'd be like, all right, I'm you know, Rachel. We're taking a second mortgage out. We're just like we're putting it all on this next game.
Just let it ride.
And I'm not going to drink.
Exactly.
But, like, you know, 9 for 9 was pretty good, but 9 for 11, you know, never forget, so.
9 for 9, I was 9 for 9 for a while. And they were 6 and 3, so it wasn't even like, this wasn't like, you know, they went on a 9-game winning streak, right?
No,
and
it's whether you drink or not, yeah.
It was weird.
But I'm making a note here that after the episode ends, or sometime before the next episode, or whenever, I mean, it's no real rush, but plan out the next 2 laps, and we also need to update Patreon at TooFastTooForever.com to add that thing in.
Cool, I like it.
Next email from Justin Kleinman, subject line, whoops, ? I know we could all Google these things, but what's the fun in that? I'm pretty sure the term Wooks comes from followers of the jam band Wookiefoot. A guy in my fantasy league follows them around.
Possibly. I always thought that it just came from, like, Chewbacca. Like dangly hair Wookiees in the Chewbacca sense, and that's what it came from.
Well, I'm guessing Wookiefoot was named after...
After Chewbacca anyways.
Yeah. It's all the same. You know, it's the Latin root of the word, right? Essentially.
The etymology of Wook.
So now this next sentence, Joe, is something that I think you're going to be talking about in the minute. And I'm going to let you either talk about it now or talk about it in the minute. But he says, I don't think the smoke coming from the cars is from the turbo.
It's not.
I think it's blow off from the NAS.
It is.
It's briefly talked about in an episode of Fastest Car. There's a guy from L.A. with a Mustang that when he's at the line has to blow off the nitrous, and they show it a few times.
Yes. So this is, okay, so I did look this up. I was questioning it, and I wanted to go back and double check myself.
And weirdly, it's in the minute.
It's in this minute, which is even crazier. It is not turbo blow-off, intake air coming out the sides. What it is it's nitrous purging. okay? When you have the nitrous tanks, right, and Dom opens them, like in the minute that we just saw, right? He opens the tanks. The line that goes from the nitrous tanks to the engine, there's empty air in there, right?
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Because, like, there was no nitrous in the system. Now you open them. The nitrous is in the front of it. It needs to go to the engine. So what these guys do, like, in this minute, is you purge the nitrous, which is you shoot your engine with the nitrous to prime the line so that when you go and you're in the race and you hit the nitrous button, there's already nitrous right there waiting, right?
So it's like when you're getting a shot at the doctor and they squeeze a little bit out so that they don't, like, inject your thing with air.
Precisely like that.
Why didn't you just say that?
I didn't. In the minute, and how they used to do it is they would just run it through the engine, and you would just, like, spray until you saw the engine perk up, okay?
Gotcha, okay.
And what would happen is it would shoot flames out the back of your exhaust. Not to the extent that they have it in Fast and Furious, but it would, right? Okay? Like, you can kind of see it in a lot of these things.
Sure.
Eventually, the technology came out that you could purge your nitrous out the side, and you would spray, and then when you would see it start to come out the side, you'd be like, oh, there's nitrous now at the closest point to where it needs to go in. It is not steam. It is not intake air coming off the blow-off. But in this minute, you see both them purge the nitrous and you hear the blow-off valve when they shift. You know, like, but when they're on the line, it's really cool. They were firing it off.
They were all firing off at the same time.
Yeah, because they're all purging their nitrous so that when they go to shoot the NOS shot, it's good to go. So
yeah,
it's really
for
cool.
Sure. Next email from Alex Ellenin says, I don't have anything witty here for you. That's the subject line.
Okay.
Hey, Joes, I recently changed positions at work and can't binge podcasts like I was when I first started listening. Well,
it's okay.
Good news for him and for us, I guess. He already binged us, so he's already caught up. So it's just one every week. So it's not, you know,
that's
no
awesome.
Binge situation. He says, but if I ever get a position where I can again, I'll go back and listen to the Channing Tatum and Ryan Gosling podcast, but, like, no promises. Also, more episodes. Zac Attack, Zac Efron.
Yeah,
although the early Zac Efron, it's not great. They're not great, but
start newest and go backwards, and when you get sick of it, just stop.
Yeah, when we basically stop playing games, you can stop.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
On the topic of where Brian and Roman are from, Barstow is in California, right? But I've never actually discussed where they're from specifically. Something that's bugged me since I watched it last is when Brian and Bilkins go to recruit Roman at the Demolition Derby. There's a big sweeping shot showing the surrounding area, and it's pretty clearly not Florida. Almost looks like Monument Valley in Utah. I don't know. It's been bothering me since I noticed that shot at the beginning of the scene.
Yeah, because it's the desert, so it's definitely not Florida.
I'm going to take a look right now on IMDb at Too Fast, Too Furious shooting locations. We got Miami. We got Weston, Florida. Also, name of one of Nicolas Cage's sons, Weston Cage.
Oh,
Key West, Florida Keys, Universal Studios, Florida, Homestead, Florida, Boca Raton, Florida, Cape Canaveral, Florida, Versailles Restaurant in Miami, West Palm Beach, Florida, Seven Mile Bridge, Florida Keys, Infinite Horizon Studios in Orlando, Hollywood, Florida, Stage 1 Universal Studios in Universal City, California, Stage 4 Universal Studios in Universal City, California, Virginia Key, Florida, and Miami, Florida. Unless it was the interior shot at the studio in Universal, everything there was in Florida. So, you know,
yeah,
Florida, I guess, maybe has deserts? It doesn't seem real, but maybe.
I can imagine, like, swampland and stuff. Maybe it's the Universal City in California studio. Because those are really big, you know what I mean? They probably have, like, a kind of deserty area to this thing.
I mean, you might also be able to, it might just be like a man-made, like a campground sort of, like, you know, where like a roaming, like the, here they're using, and roaming, not, you know, not in, not a pun for Roman, but like,
yeah,
you know, where they have like the Demolition Derby set up here, but like maybe that's where like, you know, a carnival or a festival or something comes, like it's just, like
yeah.
It's in the lush greens area, but they, instead of having grass, they just have turned it basically into like a gravel parking lot. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's not gravel though. It's like dirt. It looks like a desert. It seems kind of like sand.
But I'm saying like they could have made that for some reason. I don't know what that reason would be, but I don't think it's impossible to think that like it's a new
wing of Disney and they just didn't build it yet and they just like put this dirt down.
Yeah. The Supra, driven by Michael Ealy in 2F2F, the one that hits the Pepsi sign in the opening race, is actually the same car as Brian's orange Supra from the first movie.
Yep, they liveried it.
He says, Craig Lieberman talked about it in one of his appearances on the Smoking Tire podcast. You don't have to name it, but he appears a few times on there. Well, I just named it. I mean, they're not.
Hey, man, we're not haters. I don't care. Yeah, go listen to Smoking Tire to hear Craig Lieberman. He knows a lot about these movies.
There's only 6 or 7 podcasts that we hate. Just kidding.
I was trying to think of what they would be, and I could name like 3, and then I was like, yeah, I bet there's more. And
there's gotta be more.
There's like four that I definitely don't like.
We don't hate them. It's just
I don't like. I said don't like.
We coexist.
Hey, I'm not even saying that. I was
passive aggressively.
There's definitely four that I don't like.
Joe's reviews do not reflect those of Too Fast, Too Forever as a whole.
It's true.
So far,
that's such an ironic. Oh, thank you. Sorry.
So far, I'm really enjoying Kara's take on both the series and enjoy that she pays attention to the wardrobe in the series.
Same.
The series has influenced me as I both bought both Converse and Vans because Brian made them cool for me.
That's really cool. Do you have cargo shorts too? Because that's a contentious point in a lot of my friend circles, and I love cargo shorts. So,
do you eat exclusively at Gallo Pizza? Because that looks really cool. The last episode actually prompted me. I can't wait for when we get to the minute with the Gallo Pizza, and I'm hoping there's a phone number on that cup. I want to call Gallo Pizza.
Oh,
just come back
in. Think about it. 20
years. I don't know, like 100 episode?
Yeah, probably.
The last episode actually prompted me to do some searching on the internet, and I found the list of the best outfits from the series. It was just a list of different characters wearing leather jackets. Thanks, guys, Alex.
Did Gwen Watkins write it? Because she's like the person who reported about the, you know, costume designer, so.
Next email. Actually, we have two emails left, and they're both from Wes. He sent one, and then he replied.
Okay.
Subject line, once again, too fast. Wes, you're slipping here with the subject lines. My man, what are you doing?
You're putting too much pressure.
Well,
fans are going to be scared to write in.
I just noticed it.
We're going to have people scared to write in because they're not going to come in with subject lines. Like our last email, you know, like people are getting nervous about their subject lines now.
Well, I think it's because you love Wells' subject lines so much that Wells has raised the bar.
Ridiculous. Like, that's, I mean, like, it just works for my brain because, like, I word vomit to you all day at work. And you know this, that you'll come back to like 35 messages about like sourdough starters that like mean nothing to you. And that's fine. I'm just like, I'm putting this into the universe. You can ignore all of it, but I'm just getting it out. And like, that's why I like them. Sorry.
I can't explain to the listeners how often you're like, I know you don't care about this, but, and then it's like 12 messages in a row. It's
wall
like
of text. Yep. Exactly.
And I'm just like, cool.
Cool. Yeah. That's all I needed. Thank
like
you.
I read it, I'm just like I don't know I physically don't know how to respond to this. It's like,
and I preemptively told you I know you don't care about this, so we're on the same page. It's not like I'm just like, I'm gonna tell you this happened.
Wes says, "What up, fam? I didn't get my last email in early enough to make it on the last episode, so it's hopefully this one arrives in time." It does. Okay. As I'm writing this, I just finished the qualifying rounds, episode 4 of Hyperdrive, and I'm determined to make it through the series before the pit stop episode drops. So wish me luck. We've got six more hours. It flies by. It's so easy.
It's so easy to binge.
Like I was saying before, you know, I watched like the first episode and I was into episode 2 and I'm just like, I'm going to watch this because like it's fun, but like I didn't click into it. And at some point I'm just like, oh no, I think what happens is once they all qualify and you know the 12 of them, it's like, oh.
The show gets exponentially better. So he's at 4 right now, which is the last one that you qualify.
Yep.
Once you get to 5, the show just takes off. It's so easy to watch.
So far, I'm enjoying the competition aspect a lot more than Fastest Car, but I hope they get into more of the backstories and modifications in the later episodes. Backstories a little bit, modifications not really.
No, definitely not. They tell you what car they have, and then like the one guy opened his hood and he had a BMW engine and a Nissan, and I was like, nobody mentioned that. I just saw the BMW like badging on the engine. I was like, ooh, okay. I guess we're just not addressing this at all.
Most of the talk that they have around that is like, you know, fielding Shredder. Can you tell it? Like, he fixes with zip ties. Can you believe it? Like, this guy's crazy. And like, that's the extent of it. Like, it's basically me. Like, they know more about cars than I do, but they also don't care about it. They're just like, man, this guy's crazy. He bought mud flaps at Walmart for $2. He's closing up his engine with them.
Exactly. And that's all that matters, because the show is not for super car. Like, if you want to watch, like Grease Monkey or whatever, you watch that. But this is, like...
Yeah. Here are my new episode observations. You guys talked about how people should write in and let creators know that you appreciate their content, and I obviously agree. That's something I try to do a lot if it seems like it would be appreciated. Actually, I do want to say, side note for a second, I did that myself. I took my own advice to heart. There's a show on FXX called Cake, like the food. I don't want to call it a sketch show, but it's a sketch show, and it's just like different short films and stuff, and there's a bunch of like weird animation, and then every episode, there's been 5 so far, there's 2 different segments that happen at the same time, or it's like the same creator and the same stars. There's one called Oh Jerome No. It's just this guy, like his dating fails, essentially.
Okay.
And like it's a comedy show, but it's not always a comedy show. I can't really describe it. It's like a weird kind of postmodern TV thing, whatever. I saw a thing on IndieWire that I want to read about how Cake is like kind of breaking peak TV in a good way.
Good.
But the other one, the one that I really, really love, is this segment every episode called Quarter Life Poetry. And there's this actress, writer, musician, I guess, named Samantha Jean. The first episode starts with her like sort of doing this rap, it being a Friday night, and her just wanted to like just rest after work, but then her friends would like come out and like things don't go well. Every episode is just sort of like another kind of modern annoyance.
It's like that episode of Corporate when he gets old.
Yes.
And he's like doesn't want to go out. Okay.
But it's like a different kind of thing. Like the most recent one, episode 5 that just aired this week, she is trying, it's a very minor thing, but we all do it. It's her trying to write an email to her boss and just her like second guessing
everything.
Every single word and
everything.
And also like Corporate, her like putting a period and then changing an exclamation point.
Yep.
It's the same thing as Corporate, but like it's a different kind of, it's like shorter and more musical than Corporate.
Okay.
Anyway, I found her on Twitter. I followed her on Twitter. I'm like, hey, just want to let you know that I love Cake and your segment's my favorite one. And she sent a really nice thing back, but just
awesome.
Like, just do that. Like just tell people, cause she's got like, you know, she's like 1500 or 2000 followers. Like she's got a little bit of a following, but like, it's not like she's a superstar. You know what I mean? She's
exactly
creating for a show on like third tier cable, which I think is great. And I think everybody should watch Cake, but it's not like she's going to be flooded by like compliments all the time, but like
yes.
She's doing something truly great. Go say hi. Go do nice things for people.
I like checking in on coworkers or telling them like I like their shirt if I see they have a cool shirt on. Just like gentle things like that. Like you might think it and then you'd be like, oh, this is a little weird saying it. Then, you know, you see them and you're like, hey man, I really like that shirt. That always means like a lot to me. And I'm like, what the fuck shirt am I even wearing today? And they're like, this is cool. Cool. It always works. Good job.
It always works. So Wes says, this show's a bit of an outlier. I don't always insert myself into the content or make it a long-running correspondence. But I know if I was putting something out, I would want to know people enjoyed it. So I try to make a point to at least write something short and appreciative, whether it's a podcast, a web series, a musician, etc.
Amen. I'm glad Wes is on the same boat. That's why he's family.
I knew Barstow was in California, so I always assumed that Brian and Bilkins flew to California to pick Roman up and fly him back to Florida. He's obviously new in town, but more than that, he seems new to Florida in general. That's how it seemed to me. At least, that's how it seemed to me.
Well, he does seem like he's definitely new to Miami, and that's a very good point that we didn't talk about. That he's like, oh man, I'm gonna have to stay here. Like, the girls here are crazy. You know what I mean? So, that definitely throws off my whole, I thought Barstow was in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could still be new to Miami and still live in Florida, right?
So. No, you would definitely know at least. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be like as surprising as Tyrese.
But you could also, like, I mean, I don't think it's like, I mean, it would be weird, but it wouldn't be inconceivable to think like somebody around me who like has heard stories of New York, but then like you go to New York for the first time, you're like, whoa, like I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's impossible. I mean, it's unlikely, but it's not impossible.
True. Fair.
I'm just trying to give you a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I was trying to give myself none of the benefit of the doubt.
I like hearing Kara's take on the fashion of the movies. That's two in a row. Kara compliments. Because it's something I've never thought too much about. Really?
No.
The only fashion I ever noticed were The Rock's impossibly tight shirts, Ludacris's jumpsuit at the beginning of 2F2F.
True.
And Brian's way oversized t-shirts that he's so fond of in 2F2F. Beyond that, I never gave it much thought.
I never know. Yeah. It's the Rock's baby-sized Under Armour that always gets me. That's the only thing I noticed before Kara came on and started telling us about the real stuff in it. So.
And also, like, you know, it's a different kind of thing, but, you know, in Hobbs and Shaw, Hobbs says to Shaw, you want to put on another jacket? It's 110 degrees outside or whatever, right? So.
Yes.
You guys said Devin Aoki's husband looks like if Will Ferrell was doing a football player character, Joe should know that he's just describing Ben Roethlisberger, the doofiest-looking quarterback currently playing. Mrs. West and I have always thought he looks like a poor man's Will Ferrell.
I don't like to mention his name because I have strong thoughts on Ben Roethlisberger. I've wanted him gone for a long time. I don't condone his off-field actions at all. But yes, he is the doofiest fuck alive.
Yep.
And he looks like he's constantly being punched in the face.
Yeah.
So I can agree with your assessment on his facial structure.
An eternally broken nose.
And eternally, like, he just looks like he, like, you know when you see, like, a boxer and they just finish a fight and his face is just completely destroyed? Ben Roethlisberger looks like that's his resting face. He looks doofy and confused and not as confused as Eli.
Yeah, but no one, that's different altogether.
That's a completely different level of confusion. This is, like, a beat-up confusion, not, like, a, oh God, I don't want to be here confusion.
In response to your question about why Vin Diesel didn't come back for 2F2F or why he asked for so much money, according to an interview with Rob Cohen from like a year ago, they were working together on Triple X, and they both discussed the script because Rob had also been offered the directing role, and both agreed it wasn't good, and they didn't want to be a part of it.
Ooh.
Rob Cohen insists that he didn't tell Vin Diesel his decision until Vin had made up his own mind. I've also heard that instead of out refusing, Vin asked for a crazy amount of money because he knew they wouldn't pay it, and he wouldn't have to do the film. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a rumor I heard. And that's something that I think we read on IMDb. I think he asked for like $50 million, and basically...
was like, if they pay me, like, I got a price. Yeah. Like, I'll suck this dick for $50 million, and if they do it, I'll do it, you know? Yeah. Like, that kind of thing. You know, this is a great negotiating tactic in a lot of things. You're like, hey, look, if you give this to me for 20 bucks, I'll buy it right now. And you just, like, don't expect them to do it. And if they do it, you're like, that's a win. I'll do it. But, you know?
The guy driving the Supra in the first race is named Slapjack. His Supra is a modified version of one of Brian's Supra doubles from the first movie. Actually, we just heard about this, right?
Yep. Double fact.
Orange Julius is driving an RX-7, which is a modified version of one of Dom's RX-7 doubles from the first movie. Suki's S2000 is a new car and not modified off of Johnny Tran's car, though that would have been cool.
That would have been really cool. I thought about that. I feel like Craig Lieberman mentions why they didn't do it, but I forget why. I'm sorry.
You can't forget. You can't remember everything. I'm surprised that you remember as much as you do about those videos.
I do. Well, because they were just like hyper fascinating. They're really cool. We'll get to them in a lap at some point. I guess a pit stop.
Joe, I think Rachel and I have some sort of weird mind meld thing happening when it comes to this podcast. When Joey was describing the car she sent in last time, I started thinking, this car sounds awfully familiar. I actually sent in a Buick Riviera maybe 6 months ago because I saw it in an X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yes.
Wolverine takes it off a dead mob guy when he first arrives in the past, and it really jumped out at me like it did for Rachel.
Yeah.
I even remember you telling your Riviera story. I don't blame you for not remembering. I forgot it too.
I
barely remember anything I sent. I barely remember anything after I send it. I'm always worried I'm sending in a car I or someone else has already sent in, and it's bound to happen more and more often as you continue guessing cars for infinity.
And also, dude, it does, like, as we said, I totally forgot.
I guarantee you that I'm not going to describe it in the same way, right? So
yeah, you're getting better at describing. So it's like it's a different level now. Like you know what I was asking for in the beginning, like what shape, how many doors, what are the lights shaped like? So you just go into it now, and we kind of have this like flow.
It's like the Letterbox game over on our other podcast. It's just like they're not good clues, but they're good clues for you. So that's
yes,
all that matters.
Exactly. That's all that matters.
That's it for this week. Looking forward to hearing what Kara thinks of the soft reboot, since it's such a dynamic shift in style and tone. Until next week, stay furious, Wes. Then he sends in a picture. He sends in a car picture.
Cool.
And he says, and then the next email says, as I was writing the car game part, I had a feeling that I or someone else had already sent this car in before. Now, I'm thinking that Joe may have even talked about it,
ooh,
or one of his friends had the car when he was younger. I'd be interested to see if I remember correctly if he mentions it. So
okay.
I say that we're not going to play the game today.
Yes.
We have another game, another car picture that we're going to do before this one. So we're going to do this like in maybe like 3 weeks or something. So
yeah.
Wes sent in a car picture, but we have still.
I'm positive that if I did tell this story, that it will trigger in my, because everything in my brain is related to like different stories. So if you're right, I will go into the story without even thinking about it ever again. Like, if you mention one car, I'll be like, this is why I think of this car every time. So
next episode for our Fast and Furious number 4, we're going to do Justin Kleiman's car pick that he sent in a couple weeks ago. And then for Fast 5, in 3 weeks, we'll do Wes's. So cool. That is all the emails. So the last thing I want to do right now, actually, there's a couple other things right now before we get into things. Reviews right now. Yes, I'm looking on Apple Podcasts. We have two new 5-star reviews. We're up to 17 reviews, all
That's
five
awesome.
Stars.
Thank you.
Yes. We have a new review as well, a new written review that you pointed out to me. I don't know who this is. It's someone who I don't think has written in an email. So if you are hearing this, and
thank you, number one.
Yeah. But let us know who you are. So it's from Mikey, and was sent 2 days ago on October 22nd. 5 stars. Randomly stumbled across the podcast maybe 3 months ago. I'm a car guy and a Fast and Furious fan, mostly the first 3 movies. Well, we know his rankings, sort of.
Kind of, yeah.
Sentiment. I prefer the cheesy car one-liners over the newer action-focused movies. Anyway, love the banter and the rabbit holes you guys will go in over movie details. Anyway, keep it up and 5 stars. Well, thank you, Mikey.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks for the good review, too. Like, because like I said, write an honest review, but hopefully it's good.
So I have 2 other things that I want to mention before we do the Fast and Furious Minute. And also we have some Fast and Furious news that I don't want to wait on until Same. The next episode.
I don't
but
either. I was hoping you'd, yeah.
Something that I thought of last episode, I think, when Wells sent in an email. I know that I love lists, and I think you love lists too, and I'm just thinking...
I love clickbait lists, yeah, I'm a big fan.
If you're out there, and especially since we're coming to the end of the year, end of the decade, if you have a list of anything of your favorites, just send it in. I want it to be an ordered list. I don't want just like a list of things you like, but like if you have an ordered list of something...
Oh, like what? Like favorite
anything.
Coffee condiments.
Sure.
Like cream, sugar, stevia, like that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Breaking Bad, Lydia Redart Quayle, stevia.
Oh.
Or coffee chains ranked or whatever. I just want lists. Like, just send us in lists. Family at
Burger chains ranked. Just
also
kidding.
That. I also want to give a quick plug to one of the shows that Mike and I do, Cruise Club, because
yes.
The Mission Impossible 2 episode, we had a past guest of this show, Austin Wolf Southern, on. And because we are talking about Mission Impossible kind of as a franchise, and because that movie has a lot of similarities, weirdly, to both Too Fast and also to Hobbs and Shaw, there's a lot of Fast and Furious talk. So if you want to... If you're looking for an extra podcast to listen to, me, Mike, and Austin Wolf Southern talk about Mission Impossible 2 over on Cruise Club, so go check that out.
Awesome.
The big news, which seems to be dividing the Fast and Furious fan base, the franchise fan base, not our fan, well, I guess our paid fan base, but not the people who listen to this.
Yeah.
Just the people down in the deep south that we bought on Facebook.
Yes.
Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be, she's in Fast and Furious 9.
Yeah. Ow.
And, people not happy.
People are pissed. They're very livid. I don't know. So I talked to Matt, was messaging us in our group chat last night, and Matt said, oh man, that kind of sucks. And I was like, Matt, are you forgetting that Rita Ora and Iggy Azalea were in Fast and the Furious movies? He was like, totally. And I was like, do you also not remember that Ronda Rousey probably gave like the worst acting performance in history in a Fast and the Furious movie? And he's like, I totally forgot about that. I was like, exactly, Matt. You don't remember those because if it's bad and it's only for like a scene or two, it doesn't even matter.
I also think Rita Ora is fantastic in her part.
I agree. Yeah, but I'm saying like we already had two female music artists and we had a female actress that was really bad. And they're not putting her... Like, Cardi B is not going to be like Mia's sister. She's not going to be Ellie Toretto.
Is?
Like, she's going to be like in passing. She's going to start a race or she's going to like... She's not in the family. John Cena now is because he like started... It's like one of the last days of filming. You know what I mean? Like, Cardi B's not going to have, like, this huge role in Fast and the Furious. I don't think, at least.
I don't think so either. She's also in Hustlers for, like, a minute, and she's good in Hustlers.
I mean,
she's fine. It's just, you know, it's not the end of the world.
It's basically more than anything.
It's basically they're giving her $200,000 to be on set for a day, and, like, hopefully she has 10,000 fans who go see them. You know what I mean? It's just, like...
Exactly. Cardi stands... show up as if Beyonce was in the movie, and they're
exactly.
all just, like, stoked, and you get, like, a huge crew. Actually, the thing is that it's a good sell for, like, a guy and his girlfriend want to go see a movie on a Friday night. I'm like, Rachel, I want to go see a movie, and she's like, what do you want to see? I'm like, Fast and Furious, and she's like, oh, I don't want to see that. And I was like, I heard
How about you see the new Cardi B movie?
No, like, I heard Cardi was in it, and she's like, really? And you're like, yeah, sure. And she's like, okay, fine. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I think they're shooting for with adding Cardi.
And that's and also Ozuna, who's a reggaeton actor, musician, who I do
I have
not
no
know.
Idea who that is. But...
He's going to be in the movie, too. But I don't know. I think that's, again, just sort of catering to a different audience and being like, hey, you know,
we didn't know
we
who Rico
need to
and Tego
this
were.
Somehow.
So,
all right, Joe, the Fast and Furious minute 19, the minute I called We're Good to Roll, which is a quote from this episode, or a quote from this minute.
I got a 187 in Glendale. Cops are all over it, man. We're good to roll. I repeat, good to roll. All
right.
Let's race.
Right.
So, Joe, last minute, you said was your pick for possibly the worst minute in the Fast and Furious so far.
Yeah.
This minute is better. It's definitely better. It's more exciting. But there's still not a lot happening here. Like,
there's
the race begins,
happening.
But it's not really, we're not in the heart of it yet.
We're in the racing.
Yes.
It definitely, like, it's the first scene where, like, they're lined up. They do the now nitrous purge. They take off. But it's a lot of faces. So, like, normally, like, you know, we talked about this. I take car things and electronic things that we see. But this is a lot of just, like, their faces and the cars driving by really quickly. How did you feel about this minute? Did you like it?
I did. I mean, it's okay. Like, I think that we're getting toward, like, what I'm most interested in is the character development stuff, I think. Like, the little details about characters. And
yes.
I feel like in these minutes, we're not getting any of that. Like, we're not having the conversations. We're not learning about backstories. We're not learning, you know, way people react. Like, this is just, as you just heard, you know, Leon hears on the police scanner that there's a murder somewhere else, that they're like, it's good to go. He tells Hector. Hector signals to the drivers. He's like, you know, it's going to get, we're going to go. And then they start racing. And, like, it's not bad. Like, it's a cool minute because we get the burn-off, we get the racing, we get Danny admiring Dom's speed. But it's, like, we don't learn more about, like, there's no details here about this that I think I didn't know before, really. And there's no real, like, character moments here where I'm just like, oh, like, that's cool. Like, it's just, yeah, we kind of know this. You know what I mean? So
I agree with you. And this is the first time that we watched a minute, and I actually felt really blue-balled for the movie. Watching this in just a one-minute chunk, I was like, well, fucking finish the... You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
This was the first time that I was like, God damn it. Like, I wanted to watch the next minute. We're going to watch this infinity times. I've seen this movie countless times.
Yes.
And I was just like, please, like, give me the end of this scene. I didn't get that. And now I'm like, wow, I wonder what the rest of this minute's going to be like.
The only real notable thing that happens in this minute is I think we get probably the first time that, like, CGI kind of going into the engine and going through the engine.
Yes.
And being like, this is what's going on inside Dom's car.
It's really cool. You can see the coolest part about this that I saw this time, because, you know, I'm watching it intensely. We watched the minute 10 times, whatever. You can see the exhaust go through and spool the turbo. Like, it goes, like, through the turbo fan, and I thought that was really cool. And I was like, oh, look, there's this turbo. Like, there it is. So
we also have, the only other thing really that I want to point out is that when the race begins, Brian swerves, because, like, come on, man. Like, just, you're such a...
How do you
never,
come off the
never
line
not a
crooked?
Buster.
That's what I was thinking this, too. Like, but, like, how did you line your car up? And when you hit the gas, he doesn't go squirrely, like, sideways, right? He, like, turns.
Yeah.
So, like,
it jerks left, and it's, like, you know, course correct a little bit.
Yeah.
Anything you want to talk about car detail-wise?
This is the first time I caught Dom's license plate. It is 4CBO626. It's a California license plate.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I wanted to bring up to you, we see the second part of the, like, the police scanner, right? Leon, like, has it on the floor.
Yeah.
We found the police scanner. I can't see any numbers or model numbers on that to think about. But then Leon picks up what looks like a walkie-talkie, right? It's this, like, yellow, like, walkie-talkie. I think I had walkie-talkies that were very similar to this. Like, Motorola made a lot of walkie-talkies that were about this size. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then he calls Hector with it, and Hector's clearly on a cell phone. And I can't tell if Leon's using a walkie-talkie to call a cell phone, or if this is just some kind of, like, weird Nextel that he had at the time. I'm confused. I wish we would see more of it. But, like, it flashes by so fast, and I paused and tried to look at it because, you know, cell phones have come such a long way, and I don't have any old ones around. We're not of the time at the time. I can't be like, oh, yeah, that's, like, that new Nokia that came out that I saw a commercial for or something like that. I'm trying to figure it out. I can't. I think it'd be interesting if Leon uses a walkie-talkie. And walkie-talkies seem appropriate for this setting, right?
For sure, yeah.
Because you're, like, at a time where, like, not everyone is really... Like, we don't see a lot of cell phone use in the first one.
No, I think it's still a little bit before it's kind of really everybody has one, right? Like, I know that, like, in Tokyo Drift, everybody's, like, recording the race down the mountain, right?
Yeah.
But in 2, I don't know if there's a little in 2, maybe, but there's not... Like, I feel like 3 is when it sort of, like, really kicks off.
Exactly. Obviously, later, like, you know, Cypher's hacking cell phone towers, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
At this point, it would make sense for them to have walkie-talkies, but then Hector definitely has a cell phone. Also fair, definitely possible.
Mm-hmm.
But why would they have both of them, and why would they, like, fuck it up like that? I don't know. So
I
think that walkie-talkies would be really appropriate for the timing. That's why I always imagine that Leon had a walkie-talkie. Like, he's using a police scanner, and he would have a walkie-talkie to call the front of the race. Actually, I think they use no, they don't. I was going to say, I think they use walkie-talkies in Tokyo Drift to, like, call down the mountain, but I'm sure that they just use cell phones. We'll have to
pay
attention.
We'll find out, you know, in not actually, I was going to say not next episode, like in five or six episodes. So
yeah, now I got walkie-talkies on the brain. So
WT on the B.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, let's take a quick break. Let us go to this word from our commercial sponsor, aka just Wes's interlude music, and we'll come back to talk about Hyperdrive Season 1.
Hyperdrive,
ooh.
Season 1.
And it starts right now.
This episode is brought to you by Skip Barber Racing School. Skip Barber Racing School is a fully integrated system of driving schools, racing schools, and corporate events. Whether you are a new driver that wants to learn accident avoidance or a seasoned racer looking to improve, we have a program for you. Winning is what we are about.
Thank you, Skip Barber. This was fun. I had a good time watching this. Like I said, I was worried, but...
Yes. I asked you, I said, is this enjoyable? Is this torturous for you? Like, what is it? And you were like, yeah, you're having fun. And I told you the story that Rachel and I were watching it.
Yes.
We had watched a bunch of the beginning episodes when we were on our Pittsburgh doing our mini golf tournament. We were continuing it now. We stopped the one night and she texted me during the day. She was at work and she was like, man, I can't wait to go home and watch more Hyperdrive. And I was like, whoa. You know, she'd gotten sucked into the point, like we said, like after, you know, episode 4 with the qualifiers and stuff, like she was invested in the characters, the people, and she wanted to continue watching it. So I was very proud about that.
It worked.
You seem like you were the same mind.
Yeah, it took me a little bit. I think you might have asked me once, and it was before I was really sold on it. And then I sort of just like kind of kept messaging you like, oh, this is cool. Like, I want to talk about this. And like you had to basically yell at me. You're like, stop, we need to stop talking about this because we're going to run out of things to talk about. On the podcast. Yeah. One thing that I said to you that I want to talk about right off the bat, the winner, Diego Higa, the kid, they call him the kid.
The prince. The
fucking
prince.
Incredible driver. And the one
so
thing,
nuts.
Of all the people, like, I think it'd be cool to have any of these people in the Fast and Furious. Like, they all have the connection through Charlize, but, like, I want this kid in the Fast and Furious movie. I don't know how, but, like, he's the one that, like, looks the part that is, he's got the most chops, and, like, it's just, like, he's so cool.
Couldn't he play, like, a flash-forward of, like, Dahmer Bryan's kid?
Ooh, yeah, that'd be cool.
How did you know my dad? Or, you know what I mean?
Ooh, dark timeline. He plays Reyes's kid. Because he's Brazilian, and so they're getting vengeance for him for them robbing his father.
Oh, I like
right?
this. Yeah, that would be great. I'm all about it. In 100%.
So there's something probably like maybe 30 racers or something in the beginning, and they qualify down to 12.
It starts out with like 30 racers, and like we described it before, it's like Ninja Warrior of cars. So everybody brings their own car, and they have different type of fun skill kind of events that they line up together, and they race through these events. And then
so I have two questions for you about the skill events.
What?
What was your favorite one to watch? And number two, if you had to do this course, which one do you think, like, I'm assuming that both of us would be like, most of this we can't do. But like, which of these do you think you could probably do better than the rest?
Ooh.
Which is your favorite to watch, and which one do you think, like, you personally, your driving skills, you could do?
I think my least favorite to watch, but the most stressful, is the leveler.
So what's funny about the leveler is always, like, the great equalizer, because, like, as the
yes.
rounds go on, the leveler gets harder. Like, the leveler, if you have not watched a series, if you have not watched a show...
It's like the drawbridge in 2.
Yes.
If it was on a balance.
It's on a balance. Basically, it's like a teeter-totter or a seesaw, and you need to get it level for 10 seconds. You basically have 2 minutes to do that, and the quicker you can do it, the less time you have to burn. But if you go through the entire 2 minutes, you get hit with an additional penalty, either like 30 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever. So you have the entire race, you have like a spotter who's like watching on a video camera and talking to you in a headset. You're like, go up a bit, go back a bit. The funniest thing about the leveler is that like halfway through, I was like, oh, all these dudes, like, one episode, like, exclusively, all the dudes were so stubborn, and they were like, I got this, and they all fucked it up,
and
all three
the women
were just like, oh yeah, I got it, and like, the 12, the three women got it, and the 9 dudes didn't. I'm like, guys, just listen.
One, just listen, and the other, like, the German woman was just, like, straight feel. Like,
oh
she
yeah,
was
no,
doing
Corinna, like,
gut.
Killed it.
She would be like, no, I got it, like, there's a man talking to me. Please stop talking. I'll figure this out. And she would just do it every time. That was my least favorite one. I think my favorite to watch is the rail slide. Because
oh, God.
That is so bad. And, like, no car is designed to grind rails like that. It's horrifying, but it's also very, like, very animalistic to me. Like, I really enjoyed that one. That's, like, one of my favorite ones to watch. I'm like, every time they do it, I'm like, ugh, I can't look away, you know, like that. What was your favorite one? And then we'll do which ones we would be the best at.
So what I loved about the rail is that as soon as they introduced the rail, I'm like, who the fuck would ever do this?
Take their car on. You're just going to demolish your car.
And what I loved, like, one of my favorites, and she was probably sixth or eighth or something. She was out kind of early in the final eliminations, but was Brittany from Texas.
Yes.
And there's the one where she takes the rail and, like, she's basically on, she hits one rail instead of two, and, like, she almost falls off, and, like, they cut back to her in the seat, or, like, in the car, and, like, she's, like, freaking out. She's like, I think I just almost died. She was so close to, like, it all breaking bad there, and she got down there.
I don't know who the fuck designed this course, but it's not, like, meant. Did they insure their cars? Are they gonna fix them? I don't know.
There was the one where the water, the water torrent fucks up Corinna's, like, windshield wrecked, and she gets glass in her hair and in her mouth.
In her eye.
I don't know, because, like, they are messing these cars up.
They're really bad. And, like, so the grinding the rails is bad enough, but they put it over water. So, like, if your car does topple, which, I mean, like, you know, physics, if you line it up and you're not an asshole, you're just going to slide down it, which is horrible in its own right. If it does topple because you're, like, nervous and you miss it, you're going into water sideways. Like, this is just not safe at all. And when Corinna had to get the glass out of her eye, they weren't very close to her medically. Like, they had to drive an ambulance to her.
When Fielding crashed his, when Fielding crashed his car, like, he way overshot that one turn.
Yes.
And, like, crashed, like, way hard into the back. Like, I feel like the ambulance was, like, right there. They're like, oh, we're here. And then, like,
but he was on, like, the first turn. He was like, really early in the race, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's still a racetrack. Like, you have to get there.
You know what I'm curious about in this regard is, like, how long, like, what period of time they shot this over, because, like, some of the cars get, like, serious damage, and, like, it's like, all right, well, you got to be back, like, because you, like, you got to do the head-to-head now. It's like, well, my car is, like, fucked up. Like, what do you want me to do?
But they know this. These guys, like, a lot of them were, like, people that do racing, so you bring a lot of extra parts. They're prepared that their car is going to get fucked up. They probably have a lot of the parts, and I'm sure that somebody there has a lot of the parts, and I'm sure that additionally, the show probably provided, like, a lot of general parts you might need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're prepared that these cars are going to get fucked up.
My favorite one to watch, to answer your question, my favorite to watch was, when they did it right, was either the four targets, like, when the competitors, like, crushed it, was either the four targets you had to drift into in the circle.
Yes.
Or when there was, like, the one street where it's, like, left side, right side, and, like, the four targets like that, like, you had to drift left and drift right and then drift left,
like,
and drift right.
Like, the ski slope, back and,
like,
forth.
Those, when those, very like, Tokyo when, drift. When Diego Higa were doing it, like, a couple of those people were just, like, oh, this is, like, and Fielding Shredder was doing it, too, like, these are, like, incredible. Like, I think, I mean, a lot of it, like, it was mind-boggling to me, like, when people were just, like, missing target after missing target. It's like, well, like, I know it's, like, the pressure, but it's like, guys, like, you're the best in the world, and, like, they're just, like,
I don't think some
close.
Of them are the best in the world. Like, they got, like, interesting characters for the show, but not...
That's fair.
Like, some of these guys are professional drift drivers. Some of them were just people that like to drive and have a fast car.
Because what is telling, maybe, is that the favorite, like, all series long, they're like, oh, Diego, the kid's the favorite, and, like, he wins. Like, it's not like there's really, like,
true.
Unless he messed up, he was always gonna win.
Exactly.
But, I guess they're not the best in the world, but I think they got, like, Brittany's cute, and I like how they always had her in the front. Like, whenever they cut to the crowd, she was always in the front in that, like, outer space kind of sweatshirt, and she's always, like, you know, this pretty blonde just cheering. Like,
Yes.
They know what they're doing.
They do. It's really well put together. I'm glad that they did that. The one that I think that I would do the best at, probably, like, the one that, like, I'm sure that I could accomplish with a couple tries, after they do the eliminations, when they do the, like, 360 turn in the car, I think I could probably do that.
Okay.
And then you drive out, like, if you gave me, like, 150 tries.
You're talking about, like, the thing where it's, like, you have the 15 seconds to do a 360 and then go through the lit-up gates?
Yes, yeah.
The difficult part there is not to do it, but it's to do it quickly, right? And it's to, like, adapt and, like, hit the exit at the right time. I don't know how to drive a manual, so I probably can't do any of this, but I think I'm good at backing up. I feel like I could maybe, if you give me enough tries, like 150 tries.
The three-point turn thing?
the Rockford turn. Yeah, the e-brake 180 kind of. Like,
it's a very similar concept. I was thinking that I would do better at the 360 turn one, because when they had it like a really wide lane, there's less chance of me hitting something to get penalties, to get 5 second penalties. So I think that like in the Rockford turn one, I definitely would ding up some of those guys. That's why I think that like over practice time, I'll be better at the 360 spin.
Yes. Now here's a different question for you, sort of bringing it back to our podcast for a second. Which character in the Fast and Furious, do you think, like, which driver, which character do you think would be best in these, in the skill competition?
Ooh, DK.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I got DK all day, because he was the Drift King.
I was thinking Han, but I guess, you know, DK is the one-up on Han.
Like, we see Han drifting, and you could make an argument for Sean, right? Like, Sean's up there.
Because he is the new DK.
He is the new DK, but I think that, actually, DK would smoke the fuck out of this course. Like, he has the experience and the time. And at this point, you know, it's been like 15 years that he's been drifting beyond DK level.
Yeah.
If you put him here, I think he would just crush.
What I did like about this show was that it just felt like a lot of them had, you know, cool, like, tuner cars and everything like that. But a lot of people were just like, there was Sarah Harrow who just had her, like, stock Mustang or whatever. She's like, this is my car. I know how to
this
drive
this car.
This
is my this daily
car. Driver. Yeah.
Yeah, she was, like, nervous to, like, do some of the stunts. Like, I'm gonna fuck up my actual car. Like, this is my real car. They did a really good job of splitting that. I agree. You need to have underdogs, you need to have racers, and you need to have supervillains, right?
Yeah.
The main supervillain is the guy that has the Lamborghini.
Oh, God. Like, I liked him early on because I was like, this guy's playing outside the box. And then as soon as, like, he was in, like, one knockout competition, he survived, I was like, oh, this guy needs to get, he needs to be gone. Like, I was on his side at the beginning, and he lost me.
No, I was never on his side, because this is the whole first Fast and the Furious. What is that? It's Ferrari, more than you can afford, pal. You know what I mean? It's like, you're just a douchebag with money. You're not like a, like, you don't
actually care. The millionaire tinkerer.
Yeah, and it's like, no, but you're not like a race car driver. Like, you don't have respect for this guy because he's buying his way into the race. In this minute, exactly what we see Brian do too, right? Like, you buy your way into the race. That doesn't mean that you get our respect. Like, if you lose, you lose. So the people that had their stock, like, cars, that's actually pretty respectable. But you know that you're never going to really root for them. I think the true underdog in the show was Fielding.
Yes. And because he had the sympathetic story that his dad had a stroke and his parents weren't there to support him. And
he does the whole thing like, my dad never paid for any of my car parts. I was all on my own. This is just my life. That was really, really cool. And so I think Fielding was great. He was, I wondered if he was like a wild person in real life, because he seemed kind of like calm when they interview him, right? Like, he's not like hyper.
But then like he gets behind the wheel and he's just like, he's a lunatic.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if this is his outlet or if he exists. I talked to Rachel about this. I was like, do you think he's this messy in day-to-day life?
Because he seems pretty like kind of laid back, kind of, I mean, I think he's from Texas, but he kind of feels like a California kind of surfer bro or whatever. Like, he gets behind the wheel and they're like, dude, slow down. He's like, nah, like, I'm going all out, like, you know, checkers or wreckers or whatever he says. But like, I think this has got to be his outlet.
So,
like,
he's a little Brian-y?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because Brian's like pretty chill when he's not in the car, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, he just, like, breaks free and, like, because I could see him doing that, or I could see him being full Roman and, like, his house is just in shambles. He punches holes in the wall. He's, like, full Kyle, you know, like, Monster Energy drink turned up to 11 all the time.
I liked him so much, and I was so bummed when he, you know, crashed and didn't, like, it bothered me. Like, he crashes and he gets knocked out, and then Corinna gets her car, like, she just, you know,
fucked up by the stupid
But then she gets
jet.
To finish, she gets to come back and do it, and I'm like, well, why did she get to do it if Fielding,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And I didn't feel like that was there. But then they have, like, the second chance race, right? And they do, like, the head-to-heads, which is kind of cool.
Which is the only way to get Fielding back in this,
because
you know he needs to be in the show more.
I was so glad that he won, but at the same time, like, you know, when I watch, like, I don't watch a lot of reality, but, like, I watch, like, cooking shows and stuff like that, and I always sort of feel bad that, like, you got knocked out for some reason. Like, you had a bad dish, or you had, like, a bad race or whatever. Like, you lost. Like, you were not your best that day. And then to come back, and then if you knock other people out, like, in my mind, if I'm that other person, I'm like, well, he was already gone. I'm like, you know, you can be like, well, I had a bad race, but, like, he shouldn't have been the one to knock me out. You know what I mean?
Agreed, yeah. Fielding does have, like, a head-to-head with someone, right?
But also, like, you know, when Corinna comes back, like, the way that they do it, if you haven't watched it yet, in the knockout stages, say there's 9 people racing or whatever, 8 people racing, because I think it's always an even number. The person who comes in last is eliminated. And then 6 and 7, if there's 8, would then go head-to-head. So then the loser of that would get knocked out, too. So they would go essentially from 8 to 6. So when Corinna comes back, because she was the one who was knocked out, right? Because she was like, she didn't finish, and so everybody who finished is just above her. And I was worried that, like, whoever came in above her, I think it might have been Sarah or whatever, was like, she was going to get automatically eliminated. And I'm glad that the show was like, no, like, we're going to have her just do the head-to-head.
Well, because they knew at this one, this wasn't like her car fucked up. They fucked it up with this stupid water jet thing.
Yeah, and like, I think they course-corrected, no pun intended, well, yes. Because they're just like, oh yeah, we're not going to, like, everybody doesn't have to do this anymore, because, like, it is crazy dangerous.
I don't know how this was a good idea to begin with. This is why I think the show was designed by, like, Netflix and had no input from, like, real race car people at all. Because this is, like, not what people that... They'd have been like, you want to fuck... Why the fuck do you want to shoot water into my engine? And yeah. They're like, it's good for TV! And, like, no.
I did think it was really funny, in terms of, like, goof-ups, mess-ups, whatever, is that when they had that second-chance tournament, the wild-card second-chance, like, that fielding wins, everyone was so sloppy. Like, everybody did such a bad job. Like, they were all missing targets and, like, hitting posts and just, like, not doing well.
Well, because they weren't very good to begin with.
Also so. That, yeah.
Yeah.
The one person I kind of wish we had more of, and I think it was maybe, like, I feel like they really kind of emphasized the Americans, like, the people who spoke English, at least, because I think they had subtitles, like, you know, Diego and his mentor or whatever, that they were on there because they were probably the two best there or whatever.
Yeah.
But I felt like the drift sensei, that guy Taniguchi, he was so under the radar for, like, the entire thing. Like, he's probably...
Dude, he was never... So we got to an episode later, like, maybe episode, like, 9, and they're like, okay, like, Asushi Taniguchi, and, like, he shows up, and I'm like, Rachel, he's still in the competition? Like, we saw him sitting there watching, but, like, I totally, yeah, he was, like, left out, but it's because he was just doing, like, middle of the line all the time.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that I've learned from, like, MasterChef and stuff. It's like, somebody can basically be in the competition, like, even until the top 10, top 5 or whatever, they know who wins when they go back to edit everything, right? And so it's like,
yes,
you know that that guy's not going to win because you just don't know anything about him, right? Like, we're not seeing
exactly.
him compete or perform or anything. It's just,
yeah.
Just like, he's there, he's doing well, but he's not remarkable.
In the same sense, I don't know, should we keep talking about the show or should we get to Charlie's part?
Whatever you want to do.
Just because it's a good segue right now. They blew so much time and so much of their load on that girl.
Oh, yeah.
For her to do... The show is produced by Charlize. That's why we're watching the show, because it's a drifting show produced by Charlize.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to South Africa. She finds this girl. And the girl does fucking horrible.
I think she takes water in the engine and her car stalls before the leveler and just does not finish, is out of the race. Like, she doesn't even get through her first run. And they spent, like, probably 3 to 5 minutes of showtime. And they, you know, Charlize flew to South Africa to film with, like, probably a couple days filming.
Meet her
or at least
family,
you know, day filming.
Do all this shit. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I go and, like, I watch this. I was like, okay, this girl's like, this is it, right?
Yep.
Like, I thought she was the Diego at the beginning. She's the dark horse. And no, she's just out immediately. We just wasted that whole time. Like, I get that we had to show the, like, Charlize things, but, like, don't you think they would have been like, Charlize, okay, these are, like, the 4 people that possibly could win. Like, you should go hang out with them beforehand. That was the one part of the show that I was disappointed in, for sure.
I think you kind of, I mean, I don't know if you need that, because I think, I was going to say, like, you kind of need that for, like, the marketing of, like, look, Charlize is in the show, right? But I don't,
yes.
You know... I don't know.
I don't know either.
Do you have any thoughts on obstacles or, you know, whatever you want to call it, I guess obstacles or challenges or whatever that they could add for season 2? Like, things you would want to see? Like, difficulty
Ooh.
Things that they could add and implement?
Let's come up with some Fast and the Furious version ones.
The first thing in terms of Fast and Furious that I'm thinking of, and I don't know if this would be, it'd probably be dangerous, but I mean, the whole thing is dangerous. Like, something on ice, possibly, like, drifting on ice?
Ooh, that's
they have the
a
water.
Good idea.
But the ice is, like, sort of just, like, you know, traction control or whatever, and trying to control skid into targets.
Very true. I like that. My first thought when you said that was, I'm just full sending, okay? Most danger possible.
Oh, I have a dumb idea, too, but go ahead.
That you throw a bunch of cars out of a parking garage and you have to drive through them.
I was thinking stationary, but also if you want to raise the danger, make it in motion, have, like, a semi-truck, and you have to drive under the truck. You have to drive, like, through the truck, like, you're stealing DVD players.
These are the things that I bet that they wanted to do but couldn't accomplish. This was in the brainstorming room. Like, if we sound pretty close to what they were thinking of. Like, so, like, how hard is it to drive actually under a truck? And, like, can we get them to try to do that in here? And they're like, there's, like, lawyers and, like, paramedics and stuff in the room. Like, we can't let you
do
that.
Yeah, no.
And they're
next,
like, you sure? Like, what if we just, like, And they're like, no, definitely not. You're not allowed to do that.
When I was growing up, the thing that I always wanted to see at the, like, the Major League Baseball All-Star break is, like, they have the home run derby, which is fun, but I always wanted to have, like, a home run robbing derby where you have, like, outfielders try to, like, you know, they hit a fly ball. Like, they have, like, a machine or something that, like, puts it right over the wall, and they have to, like, go up and make, like, a spectacular, like, robbing,
like
rob
a dunk
home run
contest.
Yes, but for defense, essentially. Okay. And then I think my dad was even just like, oh, that'd be, like, wildly dangerous. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah,
because yeah, like, you're going to, like, break ribs. Like, you don't want to kill these guys at the All-Star game. Like,
but I think that'd be so cool to see.
It would be awesome to see. I agree with you.
Oh, I like that. I'm just looking through my notes right now. I like that they mentioned, like, the way that they set this up is they're like, this is like the Fast and Furious in real life. I was like, well, it's not real. I mean, kind of, but not really. It's
yes.
just like, that's what people are expecting. But at one point, I don't remember who it was. I don't know if it was Alex Francois or somebody got knocked out, but there's somebody who's eating animal crackers. And
yes.
they go, what's the line? It's like, I think that's a little shout out to Han from Fast and Furious. It's like, no, it's not. The guy's just eating. Just because he's snacking. Like, you made the connection, but he's not doing it to
and
be like,
also,
hey, Han.
Anybody, yeah, it would be, yeah, I guess it would be Han snacking the whole time. I was going to say it would be Roman eating, because he's always hungry. But Han is always snacking, so. But Han wasn't eating in his car in Fast and the Furious. He's eating and watching.
What did you think of the announcers? Like the sports
okay.
announcer, and then, like, the two kind of... One kind of, like, nerdy bro, and then one, like, Scottish bro.
The announcers, to me, the main announcer guy...
Mike Hill, that's the only one I know.
What he sounded like to me is we watched The Masked Singer, right? Because it's
okay.
just also trash like this, and I really enjoy it. You know the premise of The Masked Singer.
I do. I've never watched an episode, but Never
okay,
Not
cool.
Funny does, and so I know all about it.
So Nick Cannon is the host
yes.
of Masked Singer. They are almost identical in their presentations. Like... the host of this show and Nick Cannon, and he's just like a budget Nick Cannon to me. Like, they have like the same deliveries, they bring you back in the same, everything. They even kind of sound the same.
The most interesting thing about him to me, and I said this at the beginning when we came back to the segment, is that like they would end every episode with "and it begins right now." It's like, well, yeah, I guess we know that you're going to watch another episode, but like, it's
yeah.
weird to end an episode with "it begins right now." It's like, no, it
we should
ended.
Try it once.
It ended.
We should really try that once for Too Fast, Too Forever, right?
Hello and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. End of episode. And it begins right now.
So then you have the MMA fighter.
Is that the British guy? Or the UK?
The guy
from the UK?
So he's an MMA fighter. And that's actually not a bad call. But he doesn't really know, like, how hard these things are.
Was he the one, or was the other guy the one who's, like, yelling at them on the leveler? He's like, no, dude, like, idiot, like, go back. He's not saying
yes.
idiot. Like,
and he
just
was
like...
wrong. And he was wrong
yeah.
a lot of the time. He'd be like, go forward. And it'd be like, no, they definitely need to go backwards. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But
yep.
we all know physics besides you. To know that, like, if it's going up in the back, like, don't go that way, go the other way to balance it. He wasn't my favorite, he wasn't great. And the other guy is the guy from, he was on the US version of Top Gear.
Oh, the guy with the glasses?
Yes, he's like the car guy.
Okay.
Okay? I hated the US version of Top Gear so badly that, like, I give this guy no respect.
Okay.
Just because I hated that show. So, like, every time he'd talk, I'd be like, oh, God, just shut up. He's not bad. In the show, he's really doing exactly what they need him to do here, right? Which is like give you like kind of car details, but like he's not going too far into it. He's really not bad in the show. I have disdain for him from the American Top Gear, so that's why. Because the people that they're following from the British Top Gear, which is now Grand Tour on Amazon, same
yeah.
show, were so excellent at their jobs. They were fucking like Jeremy Clarkson is just top like. This is who you want to do this. And they tried to make an American version of it, and it was just like this bootleg bullshit because everybody had such reverence for the host of the previous one.
And then there's the Erin Andrews surrogate, the attractive blonde woman who has a thankless job of just being like, uh-huh, I'm talking to people who are speaking entirely in Japanese or whatever, but yeah, okay.
Yes.
And like
exactly.
she's just like they gave her like absolutely nothing to do.
Which is underutilization.
Yeah. But I also don't know what she would have done because it feels like three guys on the panel is already too many. You know what I mean? Like
it is. Because, like, most of the time, like, the announcer guy's not talking. It's essentially, like, the UFC fighter and the guy from Top Gear
yeah.
that are kind of, like, talking through what's happening. I really wish that they would have had, instead of letting Asushi Taniguchi race,
yeah.
that he would have been calling the race.
But does he speak English?
It doesn't matter. I'm saying, like, just someone, like, you need, like, this is the Drift King, right?
Yeah, okay.
And he's like, wow, like, look at that, like, that wheel spin. You know what I, like, and he would guide you through the, like, this is why this is a cool drift. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, the, like, oh, man, he ripped the e-brake a little early. You know, like, these kind of, like, play-by-play things. And we didn't have a guy that was doing that. And I was like, well, why didn't you just, like, not shit him through the middle of the show the whole time?
Right.
And just let him do that. Obviously, you know, not him if he can't speak English, but somebody that speaks English that can do... There's a million English drift racers now. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bunch of people that do this. So you could have found someone that's like, hey, I drift on the professional drift circuit. Let me talk about the race, why this is hard, what angle you should go in at, when you should pull the e-brake. Like, all of these kind of things would be interesting to me. Maybe not the most interesting for the audience that they're shooting for, which is everyone.
Yeah, I can see, like, if they do a season two, and I think that they probably would, because this seems, like, pretty popular.
Like,
I can see them replacing one or two of the people. I think that, I would guess that Mike Hill, the main sort of sports announcer guy, would probably stay.
I agree.
I can see them swapping one of the other two dudes out, though, or maybe, I mean, probably not both of them, but I can see them swapping out one of them for sure, just because they're like, you know, a new take or new opinion or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
A very minor detail that I noticed was that Brittany from Texas had, this is something that I don't know if Wes is going to notice, but I'm assuming he will, is that she's rocking the Texas license plate, and it's a GNG something something something. I don't know how Connecticut does license plates, but New Jersey, like, there's like a pattern, but the pattern is like letter letter number 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 letter, and like it's just all jumbled up, and it's like that kind of pattern. And I don't know what the benefit of that is, but it's just like I think it's sort of to date it or whatever.
Well, it's just like easier printing because you only have to print like the last.
Right.
You don't change the beginnings too much.
So, yeah, so Texas has, like, every car that I was down there, like, I think it's probably, like, from the last, like, 5 years, they're all, like, GNG, and, like, it's, like, four numbers or whatever. Like, it's just, like, and so, like, this car is, like, very, like, oh, yes, that's, like, a newer car, because, like, every car, like, every plate you see
Zach
is a
GNG.
Zach
says this all the time, too. When he was, like, working at the dealership, he would always say, like, I sold this car. Oh, they bought that from us. And I'm like, why? He's like, well, because we had all the, like, BNP license plates for whatever.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
It was like the same thing.
I like that Farouk Kawai, who is that, I liked him, but I liked that he was a pizza, he's a pizza guy, so I thought kind of funny.
I think that's fun too, like, Rhodes Close Pizza Boy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't give us one of those in the...
Well, again, it's the same thing, like, these people don't know the Fast and Furious, you know what I mean? It's just like, you're giving them a lot of credit. The Polish Drift Queen was cool, but she got knocked out pretty quickly.
Yes, she was cool. It was really cool the way they edited it and brought it up. That Diego and Zhao, it's really cool the way that they gave the audience the knowledge that the two guys that are doing the best in the competition are friends.
Yeah.
When it came up, we were like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe they know each other. Really sucked that his car breaks when he's, like, doing, like, the best run possible. Because I wanted to see these two be the head-to-head, right?
Yes.
Like, this is the end of the competition.
Yeah.
They should have put in some clause, like, look, like, you don't get two runs, but, like, if your car breaks, you get a 20-second penalty, and you get to fix it and come back.
Yeah, well, speaking of the penalty, what I thought was really awesome was that at the end, Diego misses that turn, or misses the target on the water, like, when they have, like, the hidden track, and then you have to go back through the water again, and, like, instead of doing the rail, he goes and he hits the target, and, like, that saves him the 10 seconds that won in the competition. Like, that's so crazy that, like, he had the skill and the ability and the
only
cool,
by, like,
calm, collected nature. Yeah.
And it was good that his dad was like, did a little Bill Belichick there and was like,
yeah, it's like,
yo,
you got to go,
no,
back through the water.
Fuck the rail. You got to go back and hit that target again. And the kid's like, cool, I'm in.
The final episode I thought was cool. Like I said to you, it's all business. Like these episodes are pretty much, for the most part, like 44 to 48 minutes or whatever. The final one is like 61. And like, because there was a weird thing that I noticed that I think it's just because of the show. They want to keep it like, they don't want to bore people. A lot of the time they're like, okay, cool. Like there's like the eight racers going. We're going to show you like three of them. And then here's a montage of four. And then here's a bad one. And it's like, oh, this is kind of a weird kind of truncated editing. But what was cool about the last one, I guess because it is the finals and you know everybody by that point, is like they show you the entirety of all their runs, which was cool to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I actually really liked that they didn't make you sit through the shitty ones. But that's like, again, that's, you know, Beastmaster, American Ninja Warrior. Like they'll be like, and then there was these four people and they all sucked. And like just like show you the highlights and then go on. On that note, though, I think that this would have worked really, really well as a live show for the viewer.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not for production. But, like, if we could watch this live, you know what I mean? And be like, here's the multiple screen things and, like, watch it as it's a sport. You'd be like, this is really, really fun and cool to watch. I think it'd be impossible for them to do it in any type of time frame that would let them, like, reset up the track and, like, let them get ready and things like that. But can you imagine how much fun this would be like as a weekly thing and you're like watching it, gambling on it? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I wonder just how much work, like how much time there takes to set up. Because like when they, hit a target, like they have like those like glowy, balls. Like the orange or the blue balls. Like I wonder, like it's got to take like a little bit of time to reset that. You know what I mean? Like I think there's.
It does. Yeah. It definitely is taking time.
Is there anything else about the show that you want to talk about? Anything else that we haven't covered? I mean, I think we both are in agreement. Like it's mindless fun. It's probably 7 or 8 hours in total. So just go watch it.
Yeah. I think it was great. Fielding Shredder is the fucking greatest name I've heard in my life. He had to have picked that name. That can't be his real name.
No, they said it's his. They said it's his real name, but I don't know. But that's no, and that's really his real name. So I don't know.
Oh, I don't know, man. That's awesome name. Good for his parents, man.
So next week on the show, we're doing Fast and Furious number 4, and then like we said earlier, in 2 weeks we're going to do Brick Mansions, Paul Walker movie, Brick Mansions. I'm actually going to take a real quick look to see if it's available for free streaming anywhere, because this is on Netflix. You can watch the entire thing on Netflix. Brick Mansions is not free anywhere, I don't think, but you can rent it just about anywhere. So if you want to pay a couple bucks to watch it, or you know, probably go to Rasputin and get the DVD for a dollar or two if you're Wells.
Yeah, deals all day.
Deals all day at Rasputin. But yeah, Brick Mansions 2014. Go watch that. Paul Walker, David Bell, RZA. So what do you think Brick Mansions is about?
Paul Walker is a cop, because mm-hmm. I know that.
Yes, I told you that, yep.
There has been murders in mansions. There's a guy, who else is in this movie? Anybody?
RZA.
RZA is a mason.
Okay.
Like he does brick work. He's mm-hmm. building the mansions. Been all these murders in the house, and the RZA is finding them as it goes. And it turns out there's a murderer who's trying to put the bodies in the walls of the mansions.
Ooh, okay.
And Paul Walker is the cop.
Undercover cop.
He's an undercover cop. So he joins RZA's mason.
Okay. The Skulls.
No, construction. His construction, like, workforce.
I was making a play on words like the Masons.
I know. I get it. But this is a serious movie. Okay. And what he does is he joins in. He's waiting to see if somebody, if one of the other guys is the murderer, if one of the other Masons is the murderer. You know, so he's just trialing all day, putting these brick mansions up, okay? It turns out they were just all suicides and they weren't really murders anyways. The end.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what the movie is, so I guess we don't have to watch it. We can just skip that, but I guess we will, because Ben did pick it for us, so we will watch Brick Mansions next week. The most popular review on Letterboxd is by this guy, James Haves. 1 star, rest in peace, Paul Walker, you truly were an abysmal actor. Fuck Ugh. Off. Fuck right off, James Haves. I'm going to go on his profile, and I am going
downvote
to
him.
Block this member.
Good call.
I don't want you in my face.
So just as a thing, on our other podcast, Joey and I play this game where I haven't seen a lot of the movies, so he often asks me what I think the movie is about based on the title. I, you know, tell him what the movie's about. And I'm always 100% right.
100%. So. Always. Every time.
Every time.
It's crazy.
Come back for Paul Walker as a Mason undercover cop.
2 weeks for Brick Mansions via Ben Milliman, and also now Jake Freer also kind of got in on the action there too. So, you know, for all things Too Fast, Too Forever, you can go to cageflow.me, facebook.com/TooFastTooForever, or at TooFastTooForever on Twitter and Instagram. Email us, family@cageclub.me. Check out our Patreon page at TooFastTooForever.com. You know, get in this lap. It's the time to vote. We're going to, if your pockets ain't empty, cuz, you know, we're going to open the $25 tier to pick an entire lap for us if you want to do that.
Fair.
So
yeah, that's
it's
going to
be out there.
Like,
Joe, you and I are going to talk off mic about what the next two themes are going to be, and we're going to reach out to both Jake and to Ben and have them pick one or the other, you know, a movie mm-hmm. from either one.
Fair. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, come back next week for Fast and Furious number 4, the reboot with Kara on the Driving School app. And then, like we said, 2 weeks for Brick Mansions, a movie where RZA is a mason and is building brick mansions and hiding dead bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And we'll see you next time for Fast and Furious number 4, right here on Too Fast, Too Forever. And it starts right now.